Hello, Texas America and the world. This is Mark Danpaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got a series of things we'd like to cover today in the news, as well as to discuss a little bit more about our guest yesterday, Jerome Corsi, and some of the things that Dr. Corsi had to say, both about illegal immigration as well as U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. I was very much with Dr. Corsi on the former subject, far less with him on the latter, but that's just a very serious difference of opinion that I think reflects that which continues to go on within the American right on the whole subject of Israel and the Middle East. Dr. Corsi, by the way, has a very important post today at News with Views entitled GOP Presidential Contenders Commit Hare Kerry on Immigration Reform. This, of course, gets into the very thing posted today at News with Views that he was talking about yesterday that would coincide pretty much with my own views on the subject. Dr. Corsi says that in the current immigration debate in the Senate, Republican conservatives should take a lesson from Sam Brownback of Kansas and the debate on the Kennedy-McCain S-2611 Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill supported by President Bush in the 109th Congress. A year ago, we warned that Brownback's decision to co-sponsor 2611 could cost him the presidential nomination of the Republican Party. Today, no contender except Fred Thompson, should he enter the race, has a stronger pro-life or pro-family record than Brownback. Yet Brownback's identification with a guest worker amnesty at the center of 2611 distanced him from the party's conservatives, who continue to believe that border security can only be achieved by building a fence. Whether the forces moving the Republican Party to the center like it or not, border security and building a fence are likely to become the sine qua non of conservatives when making a decision whether or not to support the Republican Party's nominee for president. Any Republican Party presidential candidate running from Congress this year will suffer the Brownback Hare Kerry if Republican primary voters find them among the ranks pushing for this year's version of the guest worker amnesty. Already, John McCain has hurt himself by being photographed once again with Ted Kennedy in the announcement of the grand bargain that has brought forth S-1348, another bill calculated to give the word comprehensive an even more pejorative connotation among conservatives. Nor was McCain elevated by his unfortunate exchange of words with Senator John Cornyn of Texas. McCain should by now realize and his presidential chances are not enhanced by hurling the F-words at neighbor state colleagues from within his own party and insisting that he knows more than they do on the subject of illegal immigration. Not much better was McCain's suggestion that Republican presidential rival Mitt Romney ought to, quote, get out his small varmint gun and drive those Guatemalans off his lawn, unquote. So far, Rudy Giuliani has avoided being damaged by S-1348 only because he's not in the Senate. Recent revelations document that Giuliani's Houston-based law firm Bracewell & Giuliani has represented Cintra, the Spanish investment consortium, in their negotiations to be the public-private partnership player in the Texas Department of Transportation's Trans-Texas Corridor. Unfortunately, Giuliani's record suggests that he will come down on the side of supporting a guest worker program and a path to citizenship, quote-unquote, rather than advocating fence building as the primary mission of conservative immigration reform. There is no way Republican presidential contenders can support this bill without doing fatal damage to their White House aspirations. At the heart of this bill, the concept of triggers, quote-unquote, in S-1348 is seriously flawed. We should want to enhance border security in order to keep more illegal immigrants out of the United States, not because we are over-anxious to grandfather the millions of illegal immigrants who are already here. Besides, what is the penalty if the border security triggers are never met? The only penalty is that the government will not be able to begin issuing C visas. We'll be back with Jerome Corsi's comments and News with Views entitled GOP Presidential Contenders Commit Hare Kerry on Immigration Reform. Look at some other key news stories pertaining to the Middle East as well. This is Mark Danpaus coming from San Antonio and RBN. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Mark and Faust and Kirk are coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got a series of news items to take a look at this morning. The Kavkaz Center of Chechnya is reporting that Israel is settling scores with Hamas at some point this morning in the next couple of hours. We'll take a look at that story. Kavkaz Center is also reporting, interestingly enough, from Chechnya, that they have information that shows that the U.S. Navy is in a show of force off of Iran. This is a particularly ominous development given the fact that the Washington Post has a lead story today, which deals with the fact that according to the Post and Karen DeYoung of the Post, there is a recalcitrance on the part of Tehran to deal with the United Nations and with the International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors in regard to the whole issue of enriching uranium. This once again indicates that there is a difficulty in the ongoing communication between Tehran and Washington on this subject. And by the way, yesterday, and I think some of my listeners picked up on this, Dr. Jerome Corsi had a lot of great things to say on immigration. I would be less than honest if I didn't say that Dr. Corsi and I have a fundamental difference of opinion on this whole subject of Israel and the Middle East and all of the implications of the exchange between Rudolph Giuliani and Ron Paul the other night in the Fox presidential debates. To me, it indicates ongoingly that there is an issue in the Constitution Party on foreign policy. I find it difficult to reconcile what the Constitution Party has to say about a George Washington brand of foreign policy with the United States' support of Israel historically in the Middle East. And I do think that there is a direct connection between our support of Israel in the Middle East since 1947 and 1948, and what has happened in more recent years in regard to the political blowback that has expressed itself in terms of acts of terrorism and other things going on directed at the armed forces of this country and American political and economic assets around the world. I don't think there's any question that there's a connection, and I do not believe that Ron Paul was suggesting that any of this justified 9/11. He was simply saying that there's a connection. There is a cause and effect relationship between certain actions that we have undertaken in foreign policy and what the response has been in the Islamic world. And to the extent that the United States can modify its policies and can be more even-handed in the Middle East and can avoid doing things that are deliberately designed to polarize people and that are deliberately designed, it seems to me, to cause one side to this Middle Eastern dispute to absolutely despise us, it would be advisable that we modify those policies. I don't think that is for one minute being anti-American to suggest that. It's simply being prudent to evaluate our own total circumstance and our own strategy and our own political orientation and our own motives. And where all of these things need to be modified, then by George, let's modify them. I don't think that in any way, shape, or form suggests that we justify terrorism in any way. The other thing that I think came to the fore yesterday is that once again we have a fundamental difference over who and what was behind 9/11. I think when we start looking at the Larry Silverstein information, the guy who owned the World Trade Center and who procured it and who added some very interesting insurance policies to his dossier and portfolio 6 months before the attacks, that suggests a different angle on this whole situation from what has been previously believed. I also think that the government's official explanation for 9/11 bears scrutiny as well. Some of the things that have come out recently by Dr. Morgan Reynolds and Dr. Stephen Jones and Paul Craig Roberts once again suggest that not all is well with the official explanation of what happened that day. How did it happen scientifically? How did it happen in terms of physics? Our own Dr. Ron Larson of Austin, Texas, who, of course, has a Ph.D. from Cornell University in physics and who has been on this show, has added to the weight of the argumentation, which suggests that something is funny. Just as there was something funny with the Roberts Commission report on Pearl Harbor, just as there was something obviously funny with the Warren Commission explanation of what happened to John Fitzgerald Kennedy, so it seems to me that we're also dealing now with a situation where we need to go back and visit 9/11. I find it hard to believe that Dr. Stephen Jones is a crackpot, or that Dr. Ron Larson is a crackpot, or that Dr. Morgan Reynolds is a crackpot, or that Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is a crackpot. And the information that they now bring to the table in regard to the physical impossibilities of the official explanation for the World Trade Center tower collapses is absolutely suggestive of the fact that there is a larger political context in which these scientific falsehoods are being issued. I also believe that it is highly significant that these Israelis who were seen celebrating in the immediate aftermath of the 9/11 explosions were mysteriously and suddenly deported from this country without further investigation of who they really were and what they were really doing that day in New Jersey and what their possible connections might have been to the attacks and to what extent their involvement may have suggested a larger Israeli foreknowledge of what was going to happen on September the 11th, 2001. Those things, in conjunction with the Project for a New American Century, suggest to me quite strongly that there is a much deeper Israeli connection to all of this than the United States government will ever acknowledge. I do not believe that is political paranoia to say that. And to the extent that we ignore that information, we're having a great deal of difficulty really understanding what happened, a great deal of difficulty trying to come up with a political solution for the whole mess. So I'll say more about that shortly this morning, but suffice it to say that I think Dr. Jerome Corsi certainly has a better feeling about Israel than I would have or that Pat Buchanan would have. I see in Dr. Corsi a definite difference with both Ron Paul and Pat Buchanan in this whole issue of what American foreign policy is supposed to be in the Middle East, what the situation should be with Israel. And, of course, Dr. Corsi did not want to get into much conversation, if any conversation, about the historic culpability of Zionism when it comes to the whole issue of terrorism. We had a caller from Wisconsin yesterday morning who was asking questions about Dyer Yassin and asking questions about the role of Menachem Begin in blowing up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, an act which killed many innocent people. That's information that conveniently is ignored or downplayed by those who have a very strong historic and emotional and ideological attachment to the Zionist state of Israel. Dr. Corsi is obviously impacted by some of that, and it's going to color the way in which he looks at American foreign policy in the Middle East. That's certainly his right to take those positions. Those positions are at odds with what I believe, certainly at odds with what Mark Glenn would believe or Michael Collins Piper. And I think to the extent that the Constitution Party claims to be providing an alternative to the mainstream parties in regard to a non-interventionist foreign policy, that this whole issue of Israel is not going to go away. We'll again get back to this at a later point in the show this morning because there are a series of news stories that simply underscore the extent to which this is an ongoing situation that we're not going to be able to extricate ourselves from as long as we take the position that we have taken since 1947 in regard to the whole issue of a Jewish homeland in Palestine. I was talking about this last night, by the way, in regard to a class that I was teaching in South San Antonio. At Emmanuel Lutheran Church last evening at 130 Saipan on the south side, we were discussing the books of Daniel and Revelation. In that context, in that class, was explaining to the people who attended some facts surrounding the Middle East using both ancient maps as well as modern ones. And we were talking about things related to schools of thought and the interpretation of Daniel and Revelation, what the significance is of the fact that both of those books come out of the school of thought known as Hebrew apocalyptic, and what we might believe about the Israel of the Old Testament as opposed to the Israel of the New Testament, which quite clearly the New Testament defines as being the confessing church of Jesus Christ. Be that as it may, we brought into the play in the conversation last night some modern facts about the Middle East that are conveniently avoided by a lot of folks who chat about these matters. We talked somewhat about the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1916. For those of you who have listened to this show before, of course, this gets back to the whole question of the way in which the British and the French redrew the modern borders of these Middle Eastern countries less than 100 years ago and did so with Western colonial designs in mind and without a lot of understanding of the true tribal and ethnic and historical divisions of the Middle East that were not fairly reflected at all in regard to the borders that were imposed upon that region by these Western powers. That, in conjunction with the Balfour Declaration, the declaration by Arthur Balfour, who was representing the British State Department at the time, indicating that there should be, according to the British government, a Jewish homeland in Palestine. Those two events, Sykes-Picot on the one hand, the Balfour Declaration on the other, continue to plague us in regard to trying to come up with a present-day policy in the Middle East that will work not only for the people of the Middle East but also for the people of the United States. When it comes to the Balfour Declaration, I don't have the exact text of it up on the screen before me this morning, but I did mention in this class last night that I was teaching on Daniel and Revelation that it is highly significant that Mr. Balfour, the Foreign Secretary of Britain at the time, said that it was the policy of the British government that there should be a Jewish homeland in Palestine. And then there were words, something to the effect that as long as the creation of that homeland does not dispossess the present inhabitants of that region and that land. Quite obviously, that's what has happened here, and we've been living with the consequences ever since. When we come back, we'll get back to Jerome Corsi's piece on immigration reform. Take a look at some Middle Eastern stories. This is Mark Gandfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're taking a look at a series of news stories this morning, as well as reviewing what Dr. Jerome Corsi had to say to us yesterday. Of course, Dr. Corsi is a senior correspondent with Joe Farah's WorldNet Daily. Dr. Corsi also writes for Thomas S. Winter's Human Events at humaneventsonline.com in terms of the internet version of that latter publication. Both WorldNet Daily and Human Events, of course, basically have a pro-Israel orientation. That is where I think the neoconservative influence in both of those publications is most obvious. There are other things that are said at WorldNet Daily and also at Human Events that I agree with. But it's in that area of foreign policy that we see the greatest divergence, I think, from the kinds of things you're likely to read about in Human Events and WorldNet Daily on the one hand, and the sorts of things that we might say at the American Free Press on the other. When it comes to Israel and Zionism and American foreign policy generally, and American foreign policy in the Middle East specifically, this is where I think the American Free Press is on the right track. They're on the right track in so many other areas as well. But I think it's in this whole issue of Israel and foreign policy where we see the absolute split in the American right on that subject. And I'll stay with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and Michael Collins Piper and Willis Carto when it comes to those kinds of issues. I think they're absolutely correct. And the proof is in the pudding. What have the results been of the foreign policy of the United States in the Middle East in the last 60 years? I was pointing out last night in San Antonio when I was teaching this class on Daniel and Revelation, I was giving the class a little bit of modern political history, the history of the last 100 years, in regard to the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1916, I believe, and the Balfour Declaration of 1917, if I have the dates precisely correct there, and discussing the fact that on the one hand the British and the French drew all of these modern Middle Eastern boundary lines in ways that did not reflect the actual tribal and ethnic and nationalistic realities of that region. They found it very, very difficult to enforce their policies of colonialism as a result of the Sykes-Picot Agreement, among many other things. Then, of course, the Balfour Declaration, where Arthur Balfour, the head of the British Foreign Office, basically said that the British government would support and did support the notion of the creation of a Jewish homeland for Palestine as long as the people currently there were not dispossessed. Obviously, they were dispossessed. There were approximately 850,000 Palestinians who lost land and who subsequently found themselves being placed in refugee camps and have languished there largely ever since, they and their descendants. These policies, Sykes-Picot on the one hand, the Balfour Declaration on the other, have been two absolutely essential components in the catastrophic character of what happened to the British and the French in the Middle East. And as I was pointing out last night in this class in San Antonio at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, essentially the United States has been trying to continue with British, principally British and secondarily French foreign policy in the region. And guess what, folks? It isn't working. My old friend Marty Callahan from Valparaiso University, who's with Third Coast Films, Marty, of course, was on this show some months ago talking about his new film on the Middle East and World War I. He made it very clear that when you go back and look at British policy in that region, just as one example, that in Mesopotamia, the British had 1 million men under force of arms at an earlier stage of the 20th century trying to implement their ideas and their policies. It didn't work, folks. And since it didn't work, maybe we ought to take a look, closer look, at what we're trying to do with roughly 150,000 men, give or take, in Iraq, who find themselves wedged in between Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds. Need to take a look at that policy. Is the British historic failure in the Middle East in the 20th century a precursor of what's going to happen to us? I insist that it is. There's a second thing that comes to the fore here, and that's Afghanistan. I was pointing out that the Soviet Union, as Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar has pointed out in this show in the past, that the Soviet Union failed in Afghanistan in terms of their invasion with over 300,000 men, both their own, as well as the Afghan Communist Party Army members who were in full support of Soviet policy. The Russians had somewhere between 300 and 350,000 men to do their bidding in Afghanistan when they invaded that country. And lo and behold, they couldn't do it. What is the present force structure capable of doing in regard to achieving any better a measure of success? When we look at the forces that the U.S. and NATO have there, we're talking about, what, 40,000 people, as I remember the latest figures. It simply is not going to fly, folks. I think history shows that it's not going to. Just in regard to the experience of the British and the French and the Russians in the Middle East and in Central Asia. And if that's the case, what's going to happen to the United States? I think we're seeing the results unfold. That's something that is going to revisit some of these political candidates once more in the presidential election season. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example?
In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Mark Anfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, taking a look at a series of news stories today and reflecting on yesterday's appearance by Dr. Jerome Corsi. I think he's a very nice man, by the way, and a very gifted man, very educated man. You don't graduate from Harvard with a PhD without knowing something. Very intelligent person, very gracious gentleman. And, of course, when it comes to immigration reform, I think he's pretty much on target. The things that he writes for WorldNet Daily and Human Events in that area, I would say for the most part in 100% agreement with. There might be a nuance here or there, maybe an angle that I haven't thought of, but for the most part, I think Dr. Corsi is really on target when it comes to those things. And in that regard, I think would make an excellent presidential contender. With the Constitution Party, I think the chances are pretty good, certainly not for sure, but I think pretty good that he'll be the Constitution Party nominee for president because of his prominence, his education. He's articulate. He has been asked by the founder of the party, Howard Phillips, to run. That's always a significant sign. And Jerome Corsi, with the name recognition that he has, would be a very, very significant person in this third-party presidential sweepstakes, particularly if the Republican and Democratic parties do what we all know they're going to do, and that is to shoot themselves in both feet when it comes to articulating anything that results in real change in this country. And in regard to immigration, Jerome Corsi said a series of things on the air yesterday that are reiterated today in his May 24th piece for News with Views. In the first place, Dr. Corsi, I think, is correct. Sam Brownback of Kansas is absolutely finished in the Republican Party as a presidential candidate, and so is John McCain. And the reason is simple. Brownback made the decision to co-sponsor S-2611, which is the Ted Kennedy-John McCain Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill, supported by President Bush, folks. President Bush, King George himself in the 109th Congress. No one, I think, after listening to Jerome Corsi yesterday or reading what he has to say today at News with Views, can conclude anything other than the fact that the Republican Party is a complete joke in terms of what it claims to believe and in terms of representing the interests of the grassroots in middle America. It's an absolute joke, folks, and this immigration situation is proof positive of that. I think Jerome Corsi's articulation of the case for this yesterday was absolutely ironclad. It was irontight, and when you look at it, the Republican Party clearly is floating around as a rudderless ship. And to me, to the extent that the Republican Party has done anything positive, maybe it is to commit Harry Caray on immigration reform, because it's been progressively doing that in so many other areas of policy in your lifetime and mine. The Republican Party, it seems to me, and this is where Howard Phillips of the Constitution Party, I think, is right on track. He said to me a number of years ago, before we taped a television show in Washington, D.C., Howard indicated that the Republican Party needed to die. It needed to be killed. It was so absolutely corrupt that there was no way of reforming it, no way of resurrecting it, no way of recasting it in a fashion and a shape that could ultimately bring it back to its roots and to the articulation of anything related to a true anti-government, pro-freedom agenda. The immigration situation, I think, clearly shows that. And I think Howard Phillips, it's not an accident that he has asked Jerome Corsi to consider being the Republican Party's, Constitution Party's presidential nominee come 2008. And when it comes to immigration reform, again, unlike foreign policy, on immigration reform, I'm with Dr. Corsi all the way. Clearly, this Kennedy-McCain S-2611 Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill is absolutely laughable. It is nothing more than a carte blanche amnesty for 12 to 20 million illegal aliens who are lawbreakers to become citizens of this country. And as Frosty Wooldridge has pointed out, if that happens, you can guarantee the demographics all support this, that in the next 33 years there will be 100 million new people in the United States as a result of this catastrophic situation that Kennedy and McCain and Brownback have been referring to as comprehensive immigration reform. That, in turn, is, of course, supported by George Bush. And without a doubt, it is not an overstatement. It is not a resort to rank hyperbole to say that when we look at this circumstance, we are witnessing the end of the United States as we have known it. If this goes through, I want to repeat that again. We are looking at the end of the United States as we have known it if this thing goes through. And the Republican Party will be as responsible as the Democratic Party for shooting the United States in the head as an independent, sovereign nation state with historic roots in European Americanism, and historic roots in European, the older European Christian culture. If that sounds racist, I'm sorry, folks, but that's what I believe. I happen to be married to someone, by the way, who is from Latin America, and so I think that I would potentially have some insulation from this charge of racism. But if there's somebody out there who wants to indicate that I'm a racist, they're free to do it. I'd strenuously disagree with that characterization if someone wants to make it. I simply believe that it is clear that the historic roots of the United States are in the English language. The historic roots of the United States are the Constitution of this country. We are talking about all kinds of political, linguistic, economic, and religious traditions that underscore the basic identity of the U.S. historically that are in the process of being blown away by this illegal immigration situation. and blown away by what Dr. Corsi quite clearly brought into the mix yesterday, and that is that we cannot separate this so-called immigration reform sham from the whole drive to world government. And that's where the Security and Prosperity Partnership thing comes in. That's where the North American Union comes in. Jerome Corsi, I think, did an absolutely excellent job of showing that this is the same situation that you had in regard to bringing Britain and other powers into the European Union. It's advertised as one thing, but quite clearly it's another. And in the case of the European Union, it's a further drive, a further building block, the stepping stones toward world government. And what is going on the part of Mr. Bush and Mr. Giuliani and others in regard to the North American Union is clearly an attempt to do the same thing in this hemisphere. We are going to see the end of the United States as an independent country, as an independent nation state that truly is governing its own destiny under God and under the Constitution of this country. That is what is at stake here. And anyone who thinks that Kennedy-McCain S-2611 is reform simply has to be out of their individual and collective minds, it seems to me. Senator Brownback of Kansas, who is someone that I have other concerns with in terms of foreign policy and things Middle Eastern, is nonetheless someone who has done a few good things, certainly in the Senate, but his presidential chances hopefully are dead as a result of having been involved with Kennedy-McCain S-2611. And as we look at this whole situation, it again gets back to the fact that one cannot divorce this so-called guest worker amnesty program from the whole issue of the North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement for that North American Union and this whole issue of world government. By the way, did you notice today something that was at CNN that deals with this guest worker amnesty situation? This is where we are seeing people fine-tune disaster. I'm going to emphasize that again. This is where we're seeing people in both of the major political parties fine-tuning disaster. Somebody out there is beginning to get the message that you and I are ticked off with this. There was a 74-24 Senate vote that has cut the number of guest workers that will be allowed in the so-called immigration reform bill to cut them in half from 400,000 to 200,000. Democratic Senator Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico is the so-called leading advocate of this amendment. He says that 200,000 guest workers would be plenty, quote-unquote. However, Republican Arlen Specter of Warren Commission fame says the 400,000 figure was chosen as a result of, quote, very careful analysis and consideration, unquote. Folks, even if they go to the lower figure of 200,000, we all see the handwriting on the wall. We all see that incrementally the illegal immigration movement and the one world government movement have been moving forward with great speed, especially since the time of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan is given status as a virtual saint by Republican conservatives. Reagan, however, provably, Dr. Corsi talked about this yesterday, Reagan signed off on a disastrous piece of immigration legislation that created the first amnesty for these people. Here we are now, a quarter of a century later, and we're talking about a whole new move toward a brand of illegal immigration reform that will simply codify what the one-worlders and the globalists want. They want a situation where the United States will become a part of a full-blown world government. They want a situation where the manufacturing sector of the American economy will be destroyed in terms of jobs for Americans. They want a situation where an elite, will govern us, a political and economic elite that will basically have complete power over us, will control our destinies. The Constitution of the United States will be progressively trashed in this whole situation. It will be replaced by our governance by various institutions of the New World Order. We've already been getting it with the United Nations. We've already been getting it with the World Bank. We've already been getting it with the Import-Export Bank. We've already been getting it with all of these other economic and political institutions that are moving us away from nationalism and toward internationalism and toward globalism. That's what this immigration reform situation is all about. It cannot be divorced from this larger picture or from the North American Union, which is the next portion of the game plan in regard to the creation of a full-blown world government that will replace the United States as an independent sovereign nation state. And for those of you out there who believe that George Bush, in any sense of the word, is a conservative, just take a look at the record. This man is a globalist. He is an internationalist. He has said that the Constitution of the United States, quoting Mr. Bush, is nothing more than a GD piece of paper. That's what the President of the United States has to say about your Constitution. It's nothing more than a GD piece of paper. And I suppose Mr. Giuliani truly believes that too. For when we get back to what Jerome Corsi was saying yesterday, just glance at this whole issue of Giuliani in terms of his law firm. The so-called Bracewell Giuliani law firm, they have their fingers very firmly in the pie, don't they, in regard to making the money off of this private, public-private partnership situation, Triple P. That is a euphemism for fascism, it seems to me. Public-private partnership. The Texas Department of Transportation, of course, has its so-called Trans-Texas Corridor Project. This is linked to the North American Union. It is linked to the drive to world government, this big highway that is going to be going from Lorenzo Cardenas in the west coast of Mexico all the way up through the San Antonio, Austin, Dallas I-35 corridor and on into Kansas City and then into Duluth, Minnesota and ultimately into Canada. What do you folks think is behind this? It's very simple. World government, free trade zone, the importation of all kinds of communist Chinese and Asian products into the U.S. that will be trucked here by way of this Trans-Texas Corridor after they come in by ship to the west coast of Mexico. That's what's behind the entire situation. And when we look at Mr. Giuliani, his Houston-based law firm, as Dr. Corsi was saying yesterday, has represented Cintra, the Spanish Investment Consortium, in their negotiations, Cintra's negotiations, to be the major player in this Texas Department of Transportation's Trans-Texas Corridor. The Macquarie Company also came up yesterday in Australia as being a part of this as well. Rudolph Giuliani is taking millions of dollars from Spanish and Australian multinational conglomerates in order to facilitate this North American Union. King George is in on the act too. And so is John McCain, folks, and so is Brownback, just to name a few. This is what the Republican establishment is giving you. World government, the destruction of the manufacturing sector of the American economy, the largest trade and budget deficits in American history, and an unwinnable war of counterinsurgency in the Middle East that mirrors the frustrations and the failures that happened in that region of the world to the British and to the French and to the former Soviet Union just in the last 100 years. That's what the Republican Party is. And that, I think, is the larger significance of what we need to be talking about in regard to why the Republican Party, in the words of Howard Phillips, simply needs to be killed. It not only needs to die, it needs to be killed. And if the Constitution Party can get some things straightened out on this foreign policy issue, I think it could be a very powerful force in 2008 in regard to presidential sweepstakes. Because what's going to happen is this, and Dr. Corsi, I think, predicted it yesterday, and it's another part of a very, very interesting presentation that he made. He predicted that when we look at this whole issue of S-1348, that we are not going to see this year a bill pass the Senate in the area of so-called immigration reform. Why? We're in a presidential election cycle now. These guys in the United States Senate are getting enough phone calls from all of you that they have decided, well, let's cut the guest worker thing in half from 400,000 to 200,000, and then let's lie low for a while. Let's don't actually try to pass anything. Let's let the next presidential election cycle float along. And then after the next president is elected, we'll go back to this thing again, and that's when we'll give them the final coup de grace in regard to what the real agenda is. It's incrementalism, folks. It's manipulation. It is stuff being conducted in the dead of night. This is classic smoke-filled rooms politics playing with your future and mine, and with the future of this country as a constitutional republic. This involves world government. This involves the destruction of our economy. This involves the balkanization of America. Mr. Bush is in on it. Mr. Bush is in on it fully. He knows what's going on. He is the front man for this. Brownback is in on it. I don't believe for 1 minute, for 1 minute, that he could fail to see what was behind Senate Bill 2611. And our old friend, psychotic John McCain, is in on it too. When we come back, I want to take a look at Mr. McCain from the vantage point of mental stability. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
This is Mark Danfoss, I'm from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories this morning and reflecting on yesterday's appearance by Dr. Jerome Corsi on this show, talking on the one hand very positively about what Dr. Corsi has had to say about illegal immigration. And I think with what his remarks were yesterday in regard to Senate Bill 2611 and this brownback Kennedy-McCain fraud that is in the process of being perpetrated in some form on the American Republic, that the Republican Party has simply shown the extent to which it has terminal cancer. Having said that, I'd like to tell you that in the next few minutes, of course, we're going to have some frequent commercial breaks, then a longer period of time for conversation. If you have a call for me today, you can come in at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. I'd like to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, Mr. Statmiller has done a good job of putting together a lot of great hosts on these shows. I don't know all of the RBN hosts, but I know Frank Whalen well, and I know Michael Collins Piper. And just using those two guys as examples, Mr. Statmiller has put together a tremendous lineup, and we need your support. If we're going to continue providing an alternative to what's going on out there with Zionist and corporate news media, the Republic Broadcasting Network needs your support to the full extent of your abilities. You can support us by contacting www.republicbroadcasting.org and the World Wide Web. You can give the office a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or you can send something to the office. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays. That's like Willie Mays. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if you'd like Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, that can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Utilize the same contact points on the web, www.republicbroadcasting.org, on the telephone, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also send something to the office at the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You know, there are so many things that are involved in supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd also like to put in my own individual plug for the American Free Press. If you call 1-888-699-NEWS, that's 1-888-699-NEWS, you can have the best print journalism that's available anywhere. I say that without apology or equivocation. I think Christopher Petherick is a fantastic editor for AFP. And with the team that he has assembled, and that includes Willis Carto, my good friend Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, and Michael Collins Piper of RBN, these guys are putting together the alternative to what we're not being told on Israel and the Middle East in particular. And that distinguishes the American Free Press from Human Events and WorldNet Daily, as well as Fox News and National Review. That's why AFP, a public broadcasting network, are part of a total package that I hope all of you can get behind in the days ahead. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.